Apologies for being here yet again. I don't know quite how the rostering worked out that I was... and being involved in the rostering, I really can't blame anyone else. So that's just one of those things. Just hang on a moment, I'll just get myself... As you've already gathered, and had I known that book was there, I probably wouldn't have bothered doing any preparation at all. could have just gone from there. I guess this was just a thought that we might touch base as how we're going in terms of our community life. We call ourselves Mount Hawthorne Community Church. Now, I wasn't here when that happened, and it might be really interesting at some point for someone to tell me how you actually did decide on the name. I'd like to think that it was a sort of long and deliberate 12-month process, which is what we normally do for almost every decision that we make together, but I suspect it was made very quickly because we needed to come to put together a constitution at the time. This sort of captured the history of who you'd been together up to that point. But there may be some more to that story, I don't know. But since then, since Mount Hawthorne Community Church has come into being, it's been a journey. And it's been a journey of discovering what it does mean to be a community church. And we've been on a long journey on that, and I've been part of it for all but about 2 years of it, I think. And many of you have been a part of it right from the start. We've had lots of input over the years. We've had quite a bit from Dave Andrews, and I remember him doing his little thing with the triangle, you know, and basing the idea of community coming from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is actually a trinity of relationships there. When you have a space of three relationships, in the middle is a space for community. And I think you might, if those of you for whom it touched, as it touched me, you will remember that. So where are we at in our journey? And this is part of two Sundays where we will look at that spread over the next month. And I guess it's where do we fit as a community? Because in one sense we're geographic and in another sense we're not. I think perhaps when we first started we were more geographic, but as the church has matured in years, more people have either moved out to live elsewhere and then come in on a Sunday, or people have been attracted by something else in terms of our community life and are prepared to come in on a Sunday. And yet somehow or other, still in a vague sort of way, we relate to the Mount Hawthorne area, and we support the chaplains that relate to our area. So there's still some touches of the geography. When Ken was in his role, he made it a point to be in touch with the pastors and priests and vicars, and what was the other word? I can't remember. Those people that we don't necessarily have. At least not in those formal titles. So we to have relationships with them. But Ken didn't decide that should be with everybody, every priest and vicar in and pastor in the metropolitan area. That was limited to the Mount Hawthorne area. So in that sense, there was still that geographic approach. So where do you feel like we fit? How are we doing? And where and how could we be doing even better? And I guess more crucially, what sustains the life of our church? And what kind of community are we? Are we what's known as a community of interest? The texts all say there's communities of interest, and there's communities of, there's geographic communities. We have amongst us, with Steve and Erica and the others, trying to live out a very defined way of having a geographic community where they live. They do the things in Acts that was in that passage where they've come together, they live closely together, they are sharing huge aspects of their lives, including financial. And so they have made a very distinct commitment to that. Michael and I have had a period in our lives when we had that. We're not in that now, but we would say we are still in community, and we would say this is our community. So I would say we are a bit of a mixed bunch here. We are, I guess, in terms of if it's a community of interest, we're a faith community. And I won't reread the Acts passage, but you've got that one in your heads, I hope. And I will read you the one from Philippians. Philippians 2, 1-4. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So is that sounding a bit more like us? I'm hoping so. And I think what's really important here is that the call to faith is not just a call to individual faith. And I think that's a theme that's very strong in Scripture. It's corporate or it's communal. And I don't mean corporate in the business sense. I mean in the sense of the body. It's not individual, and it's not about individual greatness or personal heroism. And this contrasts greatly with our whole individualistic culture, where we're told to actualize ourselves, to find ourselves, to achieve, to have ambition for ourselves. The passage in Philippians, and I think very strongly there's strong themes in Scripture about how we're here to be building up one another, to be serving one another. Henry Nouwen, my favourite author, in his Compassionate Life, he says a compassionate life is community life. If we are truly showing compassion in this world, then we need to be doing that through community. And John Vanier says that community is not simply a group of people who love each other. It is a current of life, a heart, a soul, a spirit. It is people who love each other a great deal and who are all reaching towards the same hope. I think we spend a lot of time on a Sunday morning defining what our hope is, because we're not a church that subscribes to one theological position. We explore together what that nature of our hope is, who this Jesus is that we're serving together, and then who we are together in that, and that is a very strong part of our community life. A sign of a healthy community is that it attracts others. And I'll explain a bit more about that, why that is later. But that's one little sign we should be looking for. And constantly, speakers who've been involved in the journey of Mount Hawthorn for a long time, and I remember, I think it was Harvey Collins coming here and saying, it's a miracle you guys are still going. Most small independent churches don't. So what is it that holds us together? Why aren't we all dispersing and going to churches where, you know, there's paid resource and pastors and lots of people doing things and we can just sit there and just receive stuff? What is it about life here that holds us together? And what is it about life here that attracts others to us? Because if we weren't attracting people, we would be dead by now as a group. Henry Nouwen goes even further, and he talks about the fact that Christian community is the place where we can bring the pain of the world. And this I find incredibly powerful. We are constantly bombarded with this need, this particular disaster that's happening, the way the world is falling apart, the political system that's crumbling around us, the famine in Africa. There is constantly, and we are so aware, the fact we are the knowledge generation, if you like. We have so much information. But where do we take that pain? And it's too big for each one of us to be carrying individually. It's too big for each one of us to be responding to individually. And so it is our own, within our own sphere of, you know, our own family, our own friends, our own work colleagues, in some way we can be bringing that pain into this group here. And somehow it is different than when we're carrying it on our own. And that doesn't have to be articulated. It doesn't have to be that we've put a, you know, we've announced it in Sunday morning announcements. But there is a very special way in which we carry all that pain of the world, bring it in on a Sunday, and somehow just being here together is a healing environment. And I love the fact that we are not any more helpless individuals overloaded with the pain of the world. But we are, I guess, being transformed, as some of the songs were saying, into the people of God. And wherever, Nouwen goes on to say that wherever Christian community is found, there is true compassion. That is why the pain can be healed. And I know for me, when I first read this, I was working for TIA. And it made sense of an experience I had where, you know, I would constantly hear of these new disasters and crises that were happening in the world. And I used to think, thank God I'm working with TIA. I don't have to feel helpless. You know, even if I'm not actually helping that particular cause, I'm part of a group who are caring. And it's the same here. You know, we don't have to be responding individually, but we know that we are part of a people of God who are working to restore health and healing in this world. We are part of creating that healing environment. So it's not just Gail doing something, Peter doing something, Paul doing something, Chris doing something. Somehow or other, all of us together are part of that community of that healing environment. And we are bigger than the sum of our parts. So as a Christian, I sort of believe this is fundamental to our understanding of Christian community. So, how are we doing in Mount Hawthorn? Where are we strong, and where could we be doing even better? And I'm just going to... Okay. Up a bit. Just fits. Okay, so let's have a look at this. Okay. Clash of IT here. You can tell where I'm at. Okay, thank you. Okay, as most of you know, or some, I work in community development, which usually goes to explain why I'm such a poor community member here. I'm away telling other people how to be in community. But this is a tool that we use when we go into a community to have a look and say, how healthy is this community? What's it doing? What's it looking like? And there's four kind of parts to it, as you can see. One is the social capital. Can I just... Yeah, one is the social capital side of things, and you can see there's some ways that we can see what's happening. Reciprocity, are people sharing and giving and taking? Is there a strong degree of trust? And I'll talk a bit more about this one. Are there there opportunities for participation? Is there cooperation between people? Is there involvement in clubs and associations and so on? Then we have a look down here. What's our cultural anthropology like? Is there a sense of belonging? Do we have a strong sense of meaning? Is there some sense of distinctiveness? The fact that we all laughed at the various points that Nathan made about how our church was different to that book means that we are reveling in our sense of distinctiveness. A strong cultural heritage. Let's think about that one. The story that we tell about how we came into being. Our kind of traditions of Easter camp, for example. Shared experiences and places. Similar. Community celebration. Our Christmas times together. Our sharing of communion together. And our relationships throughout. Wellness. Do we pay attention to helping people with healthy lifestyle? Our own personal development, safety, and so on. You can have a look down the list there. Some of those things aren't necessarily relevant to a community of interest, a community of faith, but actually, if you think about them, they are. And then finally, quality of life. Are we supporting each other in terms of that? And in what parts of that are relevant to us? I want to talk particularly about social capital, because this is the one. I hate the word social capital. It came into being when it was decided that we needed to be able to communicate in reports the warm, fuzzy stuff about people to the hard-nosed people with money to get them to actually support some people programs. And so this whole language of capitals came about, and we have social capital, human capital, physical capital, economic capital, and you go on. And I think there's about five now or seven or something. They keep growing as people work out a way that they can frame this stuff. But there is, Robert Putnam was the first person who came up with the idea of social capital, and he talked about three kinds. And I think this is really important because this gives us some clues and some tools that we can look at in terms of our life here in Mount Hawthorne. So social capital is the network of trusting relationships that exist within a group or a community. And there's three different kinds. Firstly, there's the bonding social capital. You know that bit, the warm, huggy stuff, the fact that we're friends, that we all are there for each other, and we've sung songs about that, bind us together with love, and so on. That is what's called bonding social capital. That's internal, and this is the key bit. That's internal to our life here. Then the next bit is there's what they call bridging social capital, and that's from here to the outside, people that are outside this internal community. So we have relationships then that move outside. So when Ken was going and meeting with people in other churches, he was developing bridging social capital. Each of us, when Christy's working with Scripture Union, that's an example of some bridging social capital, and so on. So how are we doing in terms of our bridging social capital? And finally, we have linking social capital. And this is a bit of a tricky one. The first two, the bonding and the bridging, if you like, are kind of peer-to-peer. But linking is, are we really good at tapping into the resources and the power that we need in order to operate? Do we have good relationships with people that are crucial to the survival of this church? And that can mean, do we have good relationships with our local government authority, for example, in terms of being able to maximise our access to resources that we might need to what we want to do? If we were wanting to build a great new building, would we have access to funding and so on? But at a very individual level, for each of us, we are a highly intelligent, highly educated, highly qualified group of people in this room. I think there's more PhDs, more postgraduate degrees in this room than in the Australian average by 1,000 times. We have huge resource within us that links up, that we are able to tap into through our networks. We have people who do well in business, who are able to then, they think, oh, we've got a problem here, we know we can go and talk to so-and-so. We have Peter, who's worked in the Department of Immigration. He has some understanding about the situation of refugees. That's something we can tap into. Relationships from the past. These are all the things that we bring into our community life that make us strong. How are we doing in that? Are we looking after those relationships, or don't we really need them? Okay, so what I'd like you to do now is to break into, say, some groups of fours. And I've put this up here. I've talked to you a bit more about social capital and the kind of things. I'd like you to have just an informal discussion about how you think we're travelling. Where are we travelling well? Where are we strong? And where are some, having now had a look at this grid and maybe that's triggered some ideas, where are some things that you think, actually, we could do even a bit better here? We could really enrich the life and the journey of our community. And we're talking about corporate things. We'll get down to some of the individual stuff in a minute. So if you'd just like to sort of form into groups of four or five, whatever, you know, you'll do what you want anyway. But so you just do that and just have an informal discussion about how you think we're travelling, where we're doing well, where we could do even better.
Thank you.
Conversation that you would like to share with the larger group in terms of how well we're travelling or where you feel that as a community we could do even better? Anything great wisdom? Okay. I don't know.
I'll get the travelling one.
All right, can you get the travelling one? Michael, can you?
I'll just speak loudly.
Yeah.
What came up in our groups is that we found all these strengths and we started looking at the weaknesses and there was a strong correlation.
Yes.
So a lot of our strengths are very fragile.
Can you give an example?
Participation. We have a very broad participation. Everyone is involved in something or other. But that takes an awful lot to keep organised and keep the energy going, find new ways to keep everybody involved. So we have this good thing going, but it is a fragile thing and it needs work. Here's one very particular example of fragile strength. The Carols in the Park has been a very good outreach thing that we've been part of. But it looks like we might be losing that. You see, it's something very effective, but something very fragile.
Yep.
And you know, we saw a few other bits of this. And what we do, what is good, is also very fragile.
Thank you. And I think that is actually a hallmark of community. It is never anything other than fragile. It is never anything other than a living organism. It's not a structure that gets put in place. We don't decide to put in place a community structure. We have a network of relationships, a network of people. We are a living body. We're not an organisation that you just put in place. And so I think we are constantly that need to nurture, to be reflecting. It constantly changes. The shape of where it is manifest, it will change. But yes, I would agree, those are definitely. And also, the other thing I should say about bonding social capital is it can very quickly slip into binding social capital, and so that your strength becomes your weakness as well. So it's not only the fragility, but if you push your strengths beyond where they're meant to go, they can become a weakness. Thank you. Ken?
Certainly, but it struck me that it isn't our community, it's God's community. And our assessment tools are just human assessment tools, which are just human stuff. And actually, God might have his way with us by doing stuff that makes us very uncomfortable. And we might feel like we're not in community when actually God is at work strongly. I reacted against the notion that we are clever people.
Did I say clever?
Oh, sorry, we had a high rate of PhDs. I did a pastoral care course at Royal Perth Hospital. The person who got inhabited and glowed through left school at the age of 13, the daughter of an alcoholic father that used to beat her up. So I think that for me, stepping into community is not stepping into something that I will design. It's not stepping into something that I'll necessarily feel good in. In fact, it might be a challenge to sit next to the person that I just don't really like that much. But that's community.
Yep. Thanks, Ken. And I hope I didn't... My using that illustration was to show that... To give an example of the kind of internal resources that we might have. Yeah. Sorry, that wasn't... trying to put up that... Obviously, there are other kinds of resources. Yep.
But we were just talking briefly about how the church fought. What a horrible process it was.
Thank you.
That actually led us to form the church.
Yes.
To move out and start our own show. With a very strong sense of God doing something.
Yes.
At that time. And then he's still doing it. And that's what horrible is about. Mm.
Thank you. And that comes back into here. And I'm using this just as another set of lens, because I think I agree with you, Ken, there's a whole lot of other lens that in terms of spiritual type stuff that we could be looking at, which I think we've done a lot of with Dave and so on. So this was to say, here's some other helpful things that might actually help us peel back the onion a little bit more. It's certainly not the major way that we want, the only way or that we want to be analysing our life. Yeah, thanks, Lani.
I think I just wanted to answer to Ken a little bit. I describe this church as a thinking people's church.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the other churches are going to be formations.
Right.
But we did say at the start that we often talk and share each other's thoughts, and we're a non-theologically based church for specific theology. I think that's like a real strength of it. It's almost the mid-range, the debate that goes on.
Thank you.
And that's a real strength.
Yep, thank you. Any others? At the back there? Sorry. Do a run there, Anna.
We think of ourselves largely as a very diverse group of people, but looking around, we're not. And that actually bothers me a lot. Partly it's obviously that people who are similar like to spend time together and get together, and that's fantastic. But on the other hand, I noticed that if someone from the outside came in and described us, we'd be a working to middle class white group of people, generally with a certain level of education, and so on and so forth. I don't know how you go about changing that, or if we want to change that, or what. But I just sort of looking around. And
thank you.
There's not that diversity that I think we sort of act as though we have.
Yep. Thank you, Anna. Does anyone else want to respond to that? Thanks, Nona.
I think you could make that description, but I'm always amazed when someone new comes to preach and say, wow, this church has got something different. That's the thing that sets us aside.
Yep.
It doesn't really matter who's in the door. I appreciate what Anna's trying to say. And my comment in our group was that I was stunned that we were still doing what we're doing. What hangs us together? I don't know anymore. But it's great.
Yeah.
And people notice, appear to notice, when they stand in front of the microphone and say, you've got something here. But it's hard to nail what that something is.
And it may be that we can't fully. That's that mystery that, which is, the Spirit of God, is an integral part, definitely. Paul?
I think if you scratch the surface, you'll find all those very different creatures. The unity that you get in an organisation, like a denominational church, can be a real facade, because in an organised denomination, you have a set of texts that you have to agree to, and no distinction shall be brought, and that's a false sense of community. I believe an illusory one. One of the things I really love about this community is the space that it creates of people from different traditions to uphold and respect their tradition and have room to disagree and to have that conversation. I just love that. As I've got older and grumpier, I have less and less tolerance for organised religion. Much more disorganized religion, and I love the way in which we have this space to do that. I actually think that 10 years ago or so, I sensed a sense of complacency or backsliding-ness, which may have been actually relief disguised in other words. And I don't sense that now, and I really value the different people who have become part of our church, who come from different traditions. I believe that brings a sense of unsafeness to this group, and I think that's really, really important to not be quite safe. And for people to have that edge where you don't quite know where we're going in this sense of God upholding, creating that space for us to discover the mystery which we'll never understand perfectly. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thanks. Can we finish it there because we'll run out of time? No, it's just don't hand it on to someone else because I'm sure there's lots of people wanting to say stuff. And we will get a chance. I guess I want to affirm too the challenges that have come through in that too. So I do want to affirm, Anna, because I think what you're both saying is true. And that I know for myself internally, I need to be constantly looking at myself and I'll certainly I'll read something in a minute that speaks to that. But where is it? I'm a person who passionately believes in community, and who passionately believes, that we need to nurture relationships. And yet I struggle to find the time to meet with you guys socially. So that's my challenge. That's my personal challenge about contributing to my life in this community. And I guess I don't want this to be an academic exercise. I guess the thing of thinking about this is, here's a whole range of areas we can be challenging ourselves in. We may be absolutely great at bringing casseroles to people, welcoming people in the door from different traditions, but am I good at spending social time with the people here who perhaps aren't necessarily in my immediate circle? Now, I'm not saying that I should or that anyone should. I'm just saying, for me, that's my personal challenge. Where are the personal challenges as we move forward in terms of creating an environment, continuing to create that, all the things that we know and love about this? Because if we stand still, we will start to go backwards. And God will challenge and touch each of us in different ways. We don't necessarily need a tool like this to be hearing the voice of God for our personal challenges in our lives. And in being part of creating the healing environment, the place where the world can come, whether they're in pain or in joy, and be. And I think that is a strong reason why we're here. Because whether we're experiencing joy in our lives or experiencing pain, this is the place we come home to. We will, in a few weeks, be looking, and I was going to read the body passage, but time, I think, we won't do that. Because each of us has a different role to play. We are not the same. We will not do it the same way. There's no guilt factor about, you know, if so-and-so is doing this, that so-and-so should also be doing that. And one of the things that I have seen and observed over the course of the years in this church is that growing comfort with allowing people to serve in this church how they want to serve, and a rejoice and a celebration of that, and not laying of guilt on that. And I think that's a real hallmark of this church. And somehow or other, the things that need to happen still happen. A few years ago, we did the string exercise where we mapped out all the things that we were involved in the community. And because up until then, the story had been we don't do anything in our community. And then when we mapped it all out, formally and informally, we were involved in a whole lot. We want to revisit that because we're a new bunch of people. We've got some of the people that were here. Some of them have moved on to other places. We've got new people in. People who were here before have changed their involvements, are doing different things. So I've forgotten exactly which day it is, but later this month we'll do that string exercise again. So I want you to be thinking over the next few weeks, how do you serve out here internally and out there beyond this group of people? How do you serve out being part of the community of God? How do we show our compassionate life that God has called us to as followers of Jesus? And I'm going to finish by reading the poem that I have read a number of times that we've used in the Solomons, called Turning to One Another, because I think it speaks to some of the heart messages that we need, that are challenges for us. So if you just want to be listening for this one, and it's Turning to One Another. There is no power greater than a community discovering what it cares about. Ask what's possible, not what's wrong. Keep asking. Notice what you care about. Assume that many others share your dream. Be brave enough to start a conversation that matters. Talk to people you know. Talk to people you don't know. Talk to people you never talk to. Be intrigued by the differences you hear. Expect to be surprised. Treasure curiosity more than certainty. Invite in everybody who cares to work on what's possible. Acknowledge that everybody is an expert about something. Know that creative solutions come from new connections. Remember, you don't fear people whose story you know. Trust that meaningful conversations can change your world. Rely on human goodness, stay together. And can I add, as we share and discover the common hope in Jesus that we have, can we have those conversations about how we're moving forward in that together?